that time. Lord, dost thou wash my foot? In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. It's a strange question that we see St. Peter asking our Lord. When you think about it, he is the Messiah, and he has told them that he is going to wash their feet. And yet, St. Peter questions our Lord, and why is he doing that? Why would he dare to wash his foot? He's not worthy to have his foot washed by Christ. That doesn't seem right. It seems like in St. Peter's mind, it should be the other way around. And perhaps if you've ever had your foot washed in the ceremony, it does seem a little bit maybe uncomfortable or out of place that the priest comes to wash and kiss your foot rather than the other way around. But it's an important lesson that our Lord gives us in that, and that is in the way of that true aspect of charity as being one that is selfless and servile, that it serves those who are that are in need. We see that ceremony, and like so much of Holy Week, it actually carries itself back to the very earliest times of the Church, that in imitation of Christ, that indeed the early Church ceremonies took place in which they imitated our Lord in washing the feet of people. And we see it continued most famously with St. Gregory the Great, and it's with him that we end up having not 12, but 13. Have you ever wondered to yourself why there were 13 feet washed rather than the 12, like there were 12 apostles on that night? Well, it comes from St. Gregory the Great and what transpired with him, because he ended up washing the foot of an angel in addition to the other 12 men. But in order to really understand where that angel comes from, we have to learn about why an angel was saw it fit to visit St. Gregory in the first place. So we go earlier into his lifetime, before he was ever made pope. St. Gregory was a monastic, and he lived in a monastery. In particular, he was living in one monastery called the St. Andrew's Monastery. And while he was there, he was always very regular in giving from the treasury of the monastery to the poor, to take care of those who were in need. At a certain point in time, he had only a handful of coins, about 12 coins he had left in the storage of money. And a man came to him out of the blue, out of a storm. And he came all disheveled and tattered. And he came up to him, pleading the good monk, asking him if he could please help him, that he had just been in a terrible shipwreck and barely survived with his life. And upon making it to shore, he had lost everything that he possessed in this world, and wondered if the monk, St. Gregory, could help him. St. Gregory went to the treasury and took out what he had, and it was 12 coins. And he gave the man 12 coins that were sitting on this nice silver platter that had been an heirloom left to him by his mother. And in giving the man the 12 coins, he thought about it for a moment and realized that he still had more he could give. And taking that precious and treasured heirloom of his mother, he gave the silver tray as well to the man who had washed up on shore. The man was extremely grateful, and he went his way, and St. Gregory never thought about it ever again. But then, fast forward much later in life, St. Gregory is now the Pope. And as Pope, he continues his habit of serving the poor. And so every day, he has the courtiers of the Papal Palace go out and find 12 poor people and have them brought to his home, and that he, with his own hands, serves them dinner. He brings them the food that they need to eat, and he takes it and takes away their plates and replaces them with other plates and ensures that they have a good, well-satisfying meal. And he does this each and every single day, 12 men at a time. One day he happens to show up, and he looks out there before he goes. He turns to one of his aides and says, "Why are there 13 people?" And the man says, "I do not know why there are 13 people. I thought we only counted 12. We only let 12 into the building. Are you sure there's only 12? I checked when I sat them down. There was only 12. And St. Gregory said, "Oh, I'm most sure there are 13. But at this point, he thought to himself, what is there to do? An extra poor man is just one more mouth that he should feed in charity. And so he says nothing about it. And he goes out and he serves dinner as usual. And he keeps being drawn, his attention, to the 13th man. He looks different than everybody else. There's something extraordinarily youthful and attractive about the man. And he can't get past it. And he keeps coming back to the point that, you know, that he was only supposed to have 12 here. And so finally, after serving the whole meal, he goes to the 13th man and pulls him aside from everybody else and asks him, "Friend, who are you? How did you come to be here at this dinner, on which I usually serve 12? And the man said to him, "Do you not remember me? I came to you a long time ago in a dark storm. I had been shipwrecked, and you had given me funds. And with the last of the funds exhausted, you in turn gave me a silver platter which had belonged to your own mother." He said, "Oh yes, I remember that. That was you all those years ago?" And the man said, "Yes, it was I, but I am not a man. I am an angel from heaven. And I've come to you on that day with that shipwreck in order to come and see your charity. And because you gave so much of yourself to the point of giving that silver platter, it is that platter that you gave that is the reason you were chosen to be the successor to the chair of Peter. And now, as Pope, I have come to test your charity again. And here I stand before you, and you have fed me well and treated me kindly. I promise you from this day forward, I will forever be your guardian for the rest of your life." And with that, the angel disappeared. And so, come a few years later, St. Gregory is washing the feet of his 12 chosen poor people there at St. Peter's. And as was now his custom, he doesn't simply wash their feet, but because he has chosen poor people, he gives them an alms, which is why we hand out the coin. And he starts going along, and he gets to 10, 11, 12. And all of a sudden, there is an extra foot there. And without hesitation, he simply continues on and washes it and hands the man the coin. And then the man disappears. The angel had come once again, one last little test of his charity, and one last shining example given by the good St. Gregory the Great. And so when we look at each of the days of the Triduum, there are so many lessons, so many points for us to take, so much for us to digest, to meditate upon, to think about, the sort of walk away points that you come away from a ceremony and a liturgy and a sermon and everything with. It's hard to narrow it down to one. But for today, with this being Holy Thursday, let's take this to be our one point. That of the highest of commandments from God, that of charity. And in it that we see a very good example of charity, given to us by St. Gregory, because he shows us that that virtue must stand ready at all times to be exercised. Because when you least expect it, and when it is least convenient, are often times when the trial arrives for you, and you must choose whether to follow after the virtue commended to you by our Lord, or to look to yourself and serve your own. Again, we see it from St. Gregory and our Lord combined in both of them, that charity has to have at its center a nature of self-sacrifice, of giving of your own self. St. Gregory had the funds to give to the poor man that was shipwrecked, but then he goes above and gives what is personally his own, because he knows that the funds would only get the man so far. Our Lord shows us that in his preparation tonight, that he is leading us to the ultimate act of charity, that of the giving of his self for our sake upon the cross. And so his passion begins tonight with his betrayal, and his sweat in the garden, and his capture and subsequent beatings that begin, which lead up to tomorrow's true peak of the passion. We see the contrast in the liturgy too, when it comes to Judas. His is a nature that is selfish and self-serving. He actually, many of the spiritual writers talk about, never thought that the Jews would follow through with putting Christ to death. He merely sought a little financial gain for himself and thought of all the times before in which Christ had escaped their ire and gotten himself out of their traps and things like that, that that would just happen again. And so he betrays our Lord, and which our Lord first performs a great self-service, the master washing the feet of the disciples. And he returns it with an act of betrayal for simple financial gain. And so we see our focus has to be, if we are to follow through with that virtue, one that forgets self and looks to serve those around us. May God bless you in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen.